Hello and welcome to Eyewitness Beauty, the podcast where we talk about the biggest stories in the beauty industry each week. I'm Nick Axelrod Welk, and I'm joined, as always, usually, by the lovely Diamond Kriegbaum, Miss Annie Kriegbaum herself.
Kriegbaum. Do you like that I'm dressed as a Thanksgiving turkey leg?
Oh, I was going to say that you were dressed more like a... Oh, you are like a Thanksgiving turkey leg. It's like more like it's giving Jerry Seinfeld puffy shirt or like the pirate shirt.
He didn't have these tits.
He didn't have those bazookas. No, he didn't. You're right. Bazungas? Bazookas. I don't know.
I prefer bazungas.
You're right. They identify as bazungas?
Bazookas. What are... Bazookas are... a weapon of mass destruction.
Do you remember in Austin Powers though how like the fembots would like fire their boobs? So I think I think it could be bazookas. Anyway, you're like,
did I tell you about meeting Mike Myers at the cabin down below one time?
No, but that's a throwback. Cabin down below. Tell the readers who aren't familiar what that is.
Well, it still exists in some way, shape, or form, just not by that name. Oh, I have juicy stories of Cabin Down Below. One, so I was interning at Alexander Wang, and I loved my two bosses, Maytal and Lena. They were just...
Shout out to Maytal and Lena.
And they were really cool, and I think that they knew I was pretty bad at my job. I was, like, in merchandising, but didn't know how to... I thought it was like visual merchandising. No, it was like, how many tops should we order for next season based on the performance of this top?
It wasn't
season.
Like, what should like the inspiration for our windows be this today?
Yeah, but it was cool because they did let me do photo shoots.
When you say did.
Like, I literally, you know, honestly, small world. And I have a prop. I stole this. Ezra Petronio's, what would you call this?
Brand book. Was that from Glossier Play?
I think so. I think he brought it in. And I stole it. Or...
is it good? That's like... So anyway, I feel like there's a lot we need to unpack. Ezra Petronio started a magazine called Self Service, and he also is like a Fabian Baron of Paris. He's an art director, creative director, and he's kind of parlayed the sort of like prominence of self service into a branding business, but he wasn't really a branding person at first, right? He was an art director. But anyway,
yeah,
so now
he's randomly
brands.
Came in and did the branding for Play, and it was right. Anyway. So, and when he came in for a meeting, he came in with this gorgeous woman, and I was like, "I know you." She was the fit model at Wang that I used to dress and do like the photo shoots with, and she was always so kind. I think her name is, I'll look it up later, but she was always so kind, and it was really funny to like. Feel and it also made me feel really important in the meeting with Ezra because I was like, oh hey, like all chummy with his.
Was that what was it?
Well, it was a meeting about Play, about him doing the branding for Play, and she, I think,
no, but I'm saying, what was her like? Was her job? Was she a fit model for the branding for Play, or like what was she?
No, I think at that point she was his like business associate, but I also think that they are romantic partners. But don't quote me on that.
Partners in life and love.
Exactly, which is a beautiful thing. I think that is the perfect.
If you can hack it. I say go for it. I mean, Casey and I are...
You're kind of hacking it.
We are. I think that given how partnerships in business usually turn out, it's shocking to me that I guess a lot of married people who go into partnership for business do end up getting divorced, but I don't know. I would just think that it's risky.
I mean, you can get divorced for reasons even if you don't work together.
True. And you know what I think about all the time? Is like, what? You get married to someone and you get married to them because it's like fun to be like single with each other. You know what I mean? Like, just like not a care in the world, just like going from place to place, you know, a night in Montauk and then stuck in traffic for 5 hours back to the city. But we ended up, you know, singing our own karaoke to Jimmy Buffett and whatever. We made fun out of it, right? And then you add a kid to the mix. No wonder the divorce rate is 50%. Because how could people have kids
so they wouldn't get a divorce?
It's a bad idea because, like,
I thought kids fixed everything.
The way that you parent and the way that having a kid like affects your life is not something that you can anticipate. So I just, like, you're literally getting married to someone, not having any clue whether or not you guys will come together or like agree on any of the myriad new challenges that you will face as parents.
Jeez Louise. That's why I say fall in love with the person. I don't know. These people that get married to, like, because they're like, I want to have kids, and so I'm ready to get married. I'm like, putting the cart in front of the horse there, babe.
I mean, like, Evie still wakes us up every single morning before the light turns green in her house, in her room. And so that has been really hard, because when they start fucking with your sleep is when you really feel like you're a prisoner, like, in your own home. You know what I mean? It's like waterboarding.
I'm so sorry. I've been getting...
Can I say one funny story, though, about Evie? And then that'll be the only one I say. So the other day, like, we're driving somewhere with Rafi and Evie and Casey. We're driving to, like, a birthday party or something in the car. And Evie, I'm trying to talk to my husband, and Evie's, like, talking, and then, like, starts talking louder because I'm not responding to her immediately. And then I go, shh. And she was like, huh? Started crying. What was that? What did you just do? And I was like, I shushed. And she was like, why did you shush me? That really hurt my feelings. Was so triggered out of anything that I had ever done to her that I had shushed her. Like, was like, never do that. Promise you won't do that again. Like, what? Like, it was so discombobulating for her. And I was like, this is my daughter.
You got to watch out for that now going forward.
I know. And then the other day we were in bed and Evie came and woke us up and was like laying on top of us. And Casey sneezed, but it like kind of sounded like a shh. And she was like, what was that? And I was like, don't worry. That was a sneeze. It was a sneeze. It wasn't a shush. She's like really, really bizarrely triggered by shushing. And it wasn't like I went like a really loud one. I was just like, shh. And she was like,
I wonder how this will manifest as she ages.
I don't know. I feel like we have some good stories this week. So to me, the headline of the week was that Sephora's pulling out of Korea.
I didn't even know they were in Korea.
Well, funny you should say that. So I was recently in Korea. And I had seen on the map of the mall that we were in, most of like the shopping happens in malls, that there was a Sephora in the mall. It's the Hyundai mall opened in 2020. It's like the fanciest, newest, brightest, freshest mall that is in Seoul. And we couldn't find it. And we kept on looking. And then like people would tell us to like keep on going down floors. Like we're going into like the sub basement of the mall. And we're like in the food court, we're like, where is the Sephora? And like, we still couldn't find it. And then we finally get to like the third lower level in the corner. And it's basically like an exaggerated, like shop and shop kind of like almost like a few kiosks. And it was really weird. You were like, of course that, well, number one, of course this is not going to work because who knows how to get to like the third lower level of this like mall. And number two, they had like, you know, half of it was, you know, US brands like Drunk Elephant. And then half were these Korean brands that like I had never seen before, and not in a good way. Like, I feel like the good Korean brands are in Olive Young. Like, they're, you know, like, or in some, or like, you'll see them someplace else. Like I will, by the end of my 4 days, I was very familiar with like all the brands that are hot right now. So right.
Is Olive Young a physical like location or
yeah.
Do they have
yeah,
stores?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and anyway, so it was like kind of, I was like, they had to work really hard to find like these random brands that I don't really have much faith in because it doesn't seem like anyone is talking about them locally. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Sephora is pulling out of Korea. What's interesting is that Sephora, obviously in the U.S., has like a stranglehold on the beauty industry, like the premium beauty industry. It is the place to be as a brand. They are, you know, the partner in growth and accelerated growth for people like Drunk Elephant, Tatcha, Briogeo.
No, what about Ulta?
Yeah, well, but I don't see as many examples of brands starting with Ulta and then exiting. Like, you think about Tatcha, which was like hundreds and millions of dollars. Drunk Elephant sold for $800 million, pretty much exclusively with Sephora.
But
anyway,
didn't they launch? I don't know the timing, but didn't Drunk Elephant launch in Ulta? Was that before they sold or after?
I think after. But anyway, all of which is to say, Sephora is huge in the U.S., you know, and in parts of Europe. They have not been able to crack Asia. And
weird.
They've made a bunch of concerted efforts, including this most recent one, and now they're pulling out. And I think they're pulling out of Korea. It's interesting, to your point about Olive Young. Olive Young is... It feels like you're in a Walgreens or like a CVS, but like the drugstore mm-hmm. aisle is the whole store. Mm-hmm. So there's something very drugstore, you know, value minded about the experience. It's not super elevated, but they are on every other block and they have crazy deals with even like the expensive brands that, you know, are the trendy one of the moment. They'll have like a 2-for-1 kind of thing. They're packed to the gills and it's just skincare and makeup and hair.
That's how I felt. Well, I feel like Cosme in Tokyo didn't feel drugstore. I mean, there are parts of the store that felt drugstore because some
Olive
of the
Young feels like
are.
Dwayne Reed. It feels like a Dwayne
oh
Reed,
God.
But
have you been to Cosme in Tokyo?
I don't think so.
It's like 3 floors of just cosmetics. And it's
well, that's
huge.
What this is. I mean, this
yeah,
is like 3 or 4 floors. They're crazy. I mean, like, and they have everything you could ever imagine. What was interesting is that like the environment that you shop for like premium skincare products in Korea is not like a fancy, you know, premium environment. It's very much like a mass market kind of feel, like grocery almost. But I feel like that is how they're conditioned to buy beauty in Seoul and in Korea. So it would make sense that like they're not going to like seek out Sephora when they have everything at their fingertips on every other corner.
Yeah. Like luxury beauty is like actually a commodity there.
Well, there's yes. And I think also there's like a bit of a like separate, like a growing divide between like department store beauty, you know, like Sulwhasoo, which you can still buy in Olive Young, but like the things that used to be in the old fashioned old lady department stores, like the premium brands with like, you know, iridescent packaging and pearl essence and things. And then the like Dr. Jart's and the Laneige's and, you know, all of the more like millennial and down focused skincare brands. And now, but you can still all buy everything at Olive Young. It's interesting. And then the other thing I'll say, and did we talk about this last time? That like every single brand, I was like so excited to go back to Seoul because I was remembering the first time I went and it was like, it's like a crystal ball. You see what's going to happen in our beauty industry in, you know, 5 years.
Yeah.
And what was interesting this time is I think, you know, formulation wise, ingredient wise, like that still is the case. But every single brand that was like, oh my God, have you seen this store or that store? It looked like Diptyque.
Oh, Diptyque.
Everything looked like Diptyque, Santa Maria Novella, or Byredo.
Yeah.
Which Snooze. I thought was like... So anyway, yeah, Sephora is leaving Korea. They posted on their Instagram account, Sephora Korea's Instagram account, that it would gradually terminate all operations. They launched in Korea in 2019. They have 5 stores, and they had already shut down another additional 2. So they had 7. They most recently had 5. And yeah, the Business of Fashion article that I read said that it was because of competition from places like Olive Young, which has 1,200 stores, and department stores.
Wow.
I know.
Speaking of brands that have... Speaking of Sephora exits... When did Josie Maran, that used to be one of the like premier Sephora brands, Josie Maran, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like also the one of the first like argan oil.
Yeah. Argan oil. That was her big thing. It was, everything was gold and
bronze.
She had like a really popular like lip balm or something.
It was kind of like she was like a clean Laura Mercier.
And she was like a model from the 90s who decided, right, I don't want to put this junk on my skin, I'm going to move to a farm and make lip gloss. Well, something happened. Something's been going on in the world of Josie Maran, because I don't remember the last time I've seen a Josie Maran product in Sephora or elsewhere. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it just got, there was more and more competition from like Ilia and Say and all those brands that like were kind of doing what it did, But
like literally, I don't remember the last time I walked into a Sephora and seen Josie Maran on the shelf.
No, I agree.
I'm going to do some live research, Sephora.com, Josie Maran. I was bewildered to be hit with a Josie Maran Instagram ad.
Oh, because they rebranded.
And they rebranded. Oh, they are on Sephora.com. And they rebranded in the most bizarre way possible. Like, it does not look at all like the same brand.
Tell me how. Like, tell me how.
Well, you said it.
What did I say?
You said Margiela, the like Margiela fragrance, the smells something like a barbershop.
Yeah.
With like a photo of a barbershop. Meets vacation. Like the trendy like sunscreen brand.
Sunscreen. I mean, it's kind of true.
It's
when you get too many people who probably aren't the original creatives of the brand involved, and they're like, I know what we should do. And they're like, we'll put all this, like they'll put, I mean, this is the Martin Margiela fragrances.
It's so weird. Every single product has its own like editorial image that I think is supposed to represent the scent,
the vibe,
the scent. All the packaging is like that soft plastic. It looks like those what you give kids to eat, like
Capri Sun,
mushy peas out of, with like a twist top. And they all have these, you know, Polaroid photos to,
yeah, it's interesting,
give you the vibe.
It's interesting. I mean, I kind of want to try the products again, because like some of these look really good. Like whipped argan body scrub.
There's a scrub. There's a lot of body butters and different fragrances.
Yeah.
It seems like
whipped argan oil body butter. That sounds good. Anyway, they got me, I guess. Okay.
The new branding worked on you.
It apparently.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what else we have.
I was dying at the new fragrance name of the brand Fleur. Guys,
Fleur,
we were running out of...
Fleur, yeah.
Yeah, we're running out
this
of...
This is not the new one, names which is funny, and phrases. But continue.
Oh, it's existed for a while. We're, yeah. Like, copywriters need to have a little come to Jesus moment, and we either need to make up new words, or we need to look outside of the true crime podcast space for inspiration, because this fucking fragrance is called Missing Person.
So you know that I didn't want to spoil your fun on Instagram, but Missing Person was the first fragrance that they launched after the rebrand and debuting Chriselle Lim as the new founder of Fleur. So the center. Oh,
I love when a new founder comes after a brand has already been founded.
So they basically like this. The center, Ben Bennett, serial beauty entrepreneur, founded an incubator called the Center. They, you know, matched sort of product brand ideas with influencers, and that was sort of, and I think continues to be their thesis that that's sort of how you can create a successful brand. Anyway, they did Naturium Susan Yara. They did Saltaire with that plus size influencer, Iska something. And anyway, he bought Fleur, which was floundering in Sephora, and they rebranded it and brought in Chriselle Lim, and she named the first fragrance Missing Person. It sold out in like a day. It went like viral on TikTok.
Missing Person.
Yeah,
I'm sure it did go viral because all these weirdos love to talk, like, love true crime.
But, like, I think Chriselle in, like, the interviews around it was talking about how it was, like, you know, like, the person that you used to be. You know, like, it was, like, it smells like a person, you know, like, I don't know. It, like, it somehow
it literally sounds
well.
like unidentified remains.
Honestly, trademark that quickly before this episode comes out.
There's nothing aspirational about the phrase missing person.
No, I guess not.
I'm sorry. It's like literally like this is giving someone that falls asleep listening to like, what's the podcast? My Favorite Murder. And then like the next morning, they're like, oh, I know the perfect name for my fragrance. Missing Person. So bizarre. I'm sorry.
Okay. What else do we have? Anything else good? Oh, I actually have something I want to talk about. I took like half an edible last night and got really focused on SK2. Okay. Who, what, when, where, how? Hi, how? Like, is it a sham? Is the entire story of SK2 like a market? Is it all marketing? Is there any like, was there a chemist who developed it, or like was it P&G Prestige in Japan who sort of like I tried to, and like their Wikipedia page isn't that like specific about like how and when. There's like obviously SK2 is a great example of when you sort of adhere to a marketing story, like a one line marketing story, which is like Patera, everyone knows in beauty. The sake workers and their hands looking young, right? Because they were like getting this enzyme or whatever it was. Yeah. Someone noticed that all the women who were working in the sake factory had youthful looking hands, and it was because of some enzyme or some ingredient in the sake called Patera at SK2. So they took that ingredient, they put it into skincare. But I also didn't realize that SK2 wasn't introduced in the US until the 2000s.
Yeah, I remember it being like a big thing when the toner came in and everybody was like, that was one of the 12 steps when people were doing the.
But it just seems like it was huge, like as a, like, you know, like it was such a, it seemed like it was a competitor to Creme de la Mer. And now it's like you never see it anymore. Like, so my thought was like, is that an example of like, if you put enough money in marketing behind a brand, you can seem like a formidable, you know, competition, but then the minute you stop spending the money, you disappear again, unless like how does Creme de la Mer still exist? Whereas like SK2 and like La Prairie, you like never see them anymore.
I think that we forget that we are actually not the luxury beauty clients that we think that we are.
You're right.
There is a complete upper echelon of people that just buy it with no question. They're not asking like, oh, can I get the same results from a drugstore formula? No, they're going into the spa, some hotel in Rome. They're getting their little they're getting their little massage, maybe a facial, and they're saying, "What was that lovely lavender smelling cream you put on my face?" And they're saying, "Oh, it's this La Prairie night cream in Rich." And they're like, "Great, I'll take two." They're like, "Great, that'll be $1,800.
I mean, I guess that's true. It's like, yeah, I guess it's more, it's not people, it's a different, it's a consumer that's not like an ingredient obsessive, right? They're more just like.
I think we forget that there's people that are like 50 plus that like do not play the skincare game, that are just like buying, they're like still in department store mode. They're still in like going to the facialist and buying whatever their facialist says. That's how like.
Well, facialist, I can understand. Like, I don't think department stores, I don't think anyone goes into department stores. I think Dallas might be the only place.
I love a department store. I will go to Bergdorf's.
You want to get depressed? Go to a department store in LA.
I went to Saks. It was terrible. No. Did I go to Saks? Yeah, I went to Saks. That's where I lost
your
car.
Locked out of someone else's car.
And it was terrible. It was disorganized. It was messy. There was a line to get into the Chanel area. The shoes were... It was crazy. There were like piles of shoes on the table. It was like, are you guys... It was really weird. It was weird. I don't like LA department stores. I do love a Bergdorf Goodman. I love Bergdorf's. I love their beauty area. They have every fragrance you could ever imagine. I like that it's by the park.
But the problem with Bergdorf is that like... Or the problem with any place now is that like it's all the same shit. It was like kind of... You know, I got... a little depressed in Korea. Not this is like my only talking point at this point, but just the fact that like in the department stores where we're looking at beauty, I was like, the internet has ruined like, you know, beauty tourism because like, I'm just like, you can get all of this, whether it's literally at Sephora or on any of the websites that, you know, like they're, which are great, like SoCo Glam, Charlotte Cho, shout out. But it's like, you don't really need to go to Korea anymore. You can do it all from your iPad.
No, I think the buyers at Bergdorf's do a great job. And they also have the full range of different lines. Like if you go to Sephora and try to shop Armani Beauty, you're only getting like a third of
That's
what they make.
True,
if you
yeah.
go to Bergdorf's, you can get all of it. And they have all the Loewe fragrances there too. They have all the YSL fragrances. I think I don't like Saks, but Saks in New York also has like all of the really nice Dior fragrances that you can't get everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like still some reason maybe.
I love a department store. I don't know. I hate having to shop online and then like wait for it to come here and then you try it on, you send it. I just feel like a scammer.
You feel like a scammer? Why?
Because I'm like trying stuff on knowing I'm going to send it back. You know, I treat like shopping on like online as just like piling up stuff to take to a fitting room.
And then you just like
because there's no place to shop here anymore. I mean, there's like each individual designer boutique, but it's like, do I want to spend all day like schlepping around Soho of all places, the most depressing place on earth, and like try on a top at Isabel Marant and then I don't know, and then all the salespeople having to like. Interact.
I don't know.
And I feel bad because I know I'm wasting your time. I know you work on commission. Please stop bothering me. There's also a store that's called the Webster.
Oh,
do you know of it?
I think we talked about this like, last episode, didn't we? Like there's one in LA too in the Beverly Center.
Well, it's the one in New York is multi-story and they basically you come in and I think a sales associate like you're their mark or like you're their person mm-hmm. now and they have to accompany you up the different floors.
No.
And I feel bad because
you get
I'm like
assigned
I'm
someone
like, yeah because I'm like I know like there's probably a really rich person that's about to walk in here and they're gonna make your commission for they're gonna pay your rent and I am not gonna buy a goddamn thing. I am just wasting time. Please do not follow me around. I promise I won't steal, but like I don't want to waste your time and it makes me feel so bad, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll like buy stuff out of like pity. And then I'm like, great, there goes $800.
They have to like go everywhere with you. That's so depressing.
And then the weird thing is like now when you buy, like bless his heart and her heart, I bought one pair of shoes in Italy at the Miu Miu store. And I was like, I do not live here. It was very clear, like Americans don't live here. She still to this day texts me being like, there's an event next week. I would love for you to come.
Bless her little and heart.
And then the guy at the Celine store, I'm like, I just needed a pair of loafers. I like Celine. It's great. But like literally just bought one pair of shoes once a month. Hey, we got some great new stuff in.
That's
like,
good. Oh. That's good sales work.
No, it just makes me feel poor. It makes me feel like I duped them into thinking that
the other day
they will ever see my face again.
The other day I chatted with this person who's starting a supplement brand as a favor to a friend. And she was like, oh, and my last question is like,
was so it Meghan Markle?
No. Do you do any angel investing? And I was like, oh, I was like, no, because I don't have any money.
I feel bad too, because I don't know if she's listening, but I also got one of those. Like, I thought she just wanted advice.
I'm like, I can do, but I can't give you, I don't have any money.
My advice is like,
and
find
I'm
richer
friends.
You
think I have money. What?
I'm like, my advice is to find richer friends.
I know. I'm like, sweetie, I can't help you. I like wish I could. And I like said that. I was like, I don't have any money. I was like, would I like to angel invest? Like, I'm happy that you think that I'm like in that place, but I'm just not, honey. Anyway, should we do product of the week?
Yeah, we can do that. Oh, you didn't even notice my haircut. Thank you very much.
I didn't. How would I have known you got a haircut?
Because look, it's so much shorter.
I mean, it's still down to your belly button. I can't believe I used the word belly button. Sorry, continue.
What's wrong with belly button? Is that a slur?
I don't know. It's like tummy. I don't know.
Okay, so no, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I have been going to the same person that has cut my hair since I was 15 years old. Her name is Sada Marquez, and I followed her to every single salon that she's ever like been to. And once a year, I get my little haircut from Sada. And then January rolls around, I get a text. Hey, babes, I'm traveling for the year, so good luck getting a haircut. And I'm like, no. So then I booked a haircut last week in New York. And
oh, she's
and
in
I
New
have
York.
Friends. No, she's in Dallas.
Oh, got it.
No, because she's not cutting this. She's gone. She's gone. Not an option anymore.
She's e-pray loving.
And I have my friends in New York, Neil, Edward, who will cut my hair, but I hate asking people for favors. So I'd rather just pay, you know, than.
Yeah. Because there's no such thing, honestly, as a free haircut. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you get what you pay for.
So anyway, I got this beautiful haircut. You didn't even notice.
How did you feel about it? I mean, it's your hair is very long.
I felt like, well, he helped me because I said, I think I want to do more of a side part now. And so he helped me like strategize around which 3 strands of hair to cut to make that happen.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. So products. This is not only a lip gloss, but I would say it's like a Pilates instrument. Like I think you could hold 2 of these and tone your arms. And it is the Westman Atelier Squeaky Clean Liquid Lip Balm. And it is a heavy girl. It is like full metal lip gloss. Oh my God, look at the inside. It's branded.
Whoa, wow. It has like on the inside, like on where it, like where the metal meets, like where the cap meets the other side. It has a gold rim and an embossed logo.
I didn't even notice that, and I've used it several times. And then the packet, the tube itself is like sprayed matte black, but then they left a little window so you can see the shade. It's just very like, it's like they had a car, like a car designer do this. Anyway, I like it because of the shade, because it's a cool mauve, which is very hard to find. I don't want coral. I don't want anything orange. And it is called Garçon. Hmm. The shade is Garçon. It's beautiful. Not too sticky. What do you think? I've been wearing it this whole time.
I mean, it looks very pretty, but like, how is this different than any other lip gloss?
It's not. That's the thing, Nick.
When was the last time you were like really amazingly surprised and delighted that sort of made you excited about lip gloss again?
Well, this I like because of the shade. I am being serious. It's hard to find like a cool mauve. Usually they pull like warm, like quite orange, quite pink, coral. And this is not that. And lip gloss is tough. I don't really like lip gloss. I don't really like wearing stuff on my lips at all. Unless it's like a liner. Oh my God, I had a fun story.
What do you got?
You didn't respond to my text about it though, so maybe it's not that interesting.
What was it?
My friend performed at the Academy Awards.
Oh, I didn't. This was a little too 6 degrees of like a friend's brother's friend was like,
no, he's my friend.
Okay, he's well, let friend. The readers like, decide. Let the readers decide.
Okay. A new friend. And I like very casual was like, oh, I work in music. Okay, great. I'm like, yeah, I work in beauty. You know, I'm a writer. He's like, oh, I had a band. I'm like, oh, what's the band? Never heard of the band. He plays me a song. I'm like, totally heard that band in like an Apple commercial. You know, like I think it was probably like the biggest song of whatever year it came out. And I'm like, okay. So... But as you know, Nick, I know a lot of guys in bands, so mm-hmm. hard to impress Little Miss Diamond. Anyway, we ended up going back to his place, not in a salacious way. In fact, he had his like gorgeous ex-girlfriend there watching his dog. He had fucking an Academy Award on his mantle because he had already won an Academy Award for a fucking song he did with Gaga.
Okay, so you're like, okay, I'm listening.
So I'm like, okay. And then he's like, ugh, I have to go to LA. I'm like stressed. I have to perform I'm Just Kin, a song that he wrote at the Academy Awards. Then he fucking performs it live for me and his gorgeous ex-girlfriend.
No. You didn't tell me that he performed it live for you.
Yes. And I didn't know that like it wasn't out in the presses, because then I was like scrolling Instagram and like I saw like Dumois blind item, a certain like male Barbie doll is going to be performing at the Academy Awards. I was like, oh my God, I already know. And you know, I knew that.
That, so, yeah, okay. That's pretty
what
cool.
A crazy New York night. You know what I mean?
What a crazy New York
only
night.
Only in New York.
I thought that was like, I mean, the bar at the Academy Awards for entertaining is so low that I'm like, okay, I guess that was cute. Like I did like it's they it talk about
are you being a hater about taking. My friend
no I thought it was good. I thought that was like the bright light of the show.
That's what I thought. I was like, good job. I think everybody loved it. No, I don't. Yeah. I hadn't heard one bad thing.
And he's a songwriter.
He literally wrote that song. I think he did all the music for the Barbie movie.
And so, but is he like, what is his if he's in a studio, you know, in a music studio, what is he doing? Is he playing an
got
instrument?
Me there.
Is
he, I have
is he
no
like,
idea.
Does he have a notepad? Like, how does it work?
No, I think he plays a lot of instruments.
Like what instruments?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know him that well. I just know that he plays the piano for sure. Seems to play guitars. I think if you are a really talented musician, you're kind of like instrument agnostic. Like you can do anything.
You can do like you do the whole thing. It's like hard to even. It's like dumb for me to even think that you could like categorize it.
Yeah. And his name? Hans Zimmer.
Is Hans Zimmer the one who's like, "You've got a friend in me," like who writes all the Disney songs? No,
maybe. I don't know why was I associating him with like Sound of Music? No, that's Rodgers and Hammerstein. You want to hear a funny story about Rodgers and Hammerstein, though? Ariana Grande sampled.
I love LOL. You have a funny story about Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Well, Ariana Grande. Like,
you want to hear, a crazy story about Cole Porter? Continue.
Ariana Grande sampled "These Are a Few of My Favorite Things."
Yeah.
And they released, they like leaked the track and it like blew up, but she didn't get permission to sample from the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate. So that song that was like her, one of her number one hits that year.
Get all the money.
She got like zero money. She gets nothing from off that. Of. Yeah.
I did read that. Yeah. That is pretty crazy. Okay. My product of the week is actually the brand that was on everybody's lips in Korea. This was someone who had formerly, like, who we met through a friend, a mutual friend we met up with in Korea. She, like, super cool, took us on sort of like a trend spotting trip, a trend spotting tour, worked at Miu Miu Forever, like, really, really incredible taste. We were talking to her at dinner, like, okay, like, what out of everything that exists, like on the market right now, like what brands are you excited about? What do you use? And she was like, I'm really into this brand called Dalba, D'ALBA. And then we start seeing it everywhere. And then someone else is like, oh my God, like, have you tried Dalba? And then we were like, okay, that's it. We have to try all the products. So we bought every one of everything. And it is a Korean brand that is, I guess, kind of like a Santa Maria Novella. Like, their whole thing is that it's from Piedmont, Italy, but it's a Korean brand.
Okay.
They use white truffle, and that is their like star ingredient. Beyond all of that, though, they have a double serum all-in-one multi-balm, which is like a chunky, it's like one of the chunky lip balm size sticks that has like a white outer ring and then a yellow inner ring, hence the two serums you're getting.
Oh, it's on sale.
They use trufferol, which is their signature ingredient, which is the white truffle thing. Vegan, hypoallergenic. And what I like about this is that it adds a little bit of glow wherever you want it, and it doesn't look greasy. So if you want like a little bit of like dewiness, a little bit of glow, a little bit of highlight that has no shimmer and no, you don't look like you just like put olive oil on your face, a little bit of like extra hydration, a little bit of extra moisture, you just swipe this on your cheeks. Like before I got on the plane, I like was putting this like on my face. It'd be great to bring on a plane, actually. Keep yourself super hydrated.
Yeah,
it smells
and
nice.
Not have to put your fingers in.
100%. I love that. Like you can just, it's like, I love a stick or a spray serum for the times you just like are not ready to commit to like fingers.
To fingering yourself.
It's $22, between $18 and $22. No, $22 on Amazon, $32 on
it's
all of
$32 Google. On their actual site. Guys, if you listen to last week's episode,
I don't, yeah, don't buy it on Amazon. Who knows if it's real?
Or it could actually be real and you're getting a really good deal, but still. Remember, the lady was stealing real stuff.
Oh, that's true. Well, here's what I don't understand.
What?
This is what's so weird about it. Okay, I Googled the Dalba double serum stick, and in the Google ads that you're served, you know, at the top that look like search results, one of the products was from Bonjour, B-O-N-J-O-U-T, Bonjour Beauty, and it's Skin Savior Solid Serum, and it's $105.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole...
Like, but what is this brand? Bonjour?
There's a whole method of like brands, like buying other brands, like search terms. So they'll.
No,
like,
I know that. But like, I'm just like, a stick serum for $105 from a brand that I've never heard of?
chic.
Don't you think that's like tough?
I want to buy it. Do you think I should?
She's a French pharmacist doctor.
I think I'm going to buy this little stick.
Oh, no, the Dalba stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll love that. Don't buy the $105 Bonjour.
But is it really oily though? Because I'm like, I can't do too.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that it's not really oily. It does have fragrance. It does have added fragrance. So if that's a problem for you, steer clear of this brand. But if you don't mind it,
added fragrance.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is that it's not super oily, but it like gives you it gives you a dewiness. Try it. Try it. That'll be fun, and you'll see if I haven't tried it under makeup. I haven't.
Well, Nick, we have an exciting thing happening collaboration later today.
We do. So this is not goodbye, but rather a momentary parting of the ways, because we're getting back together to do a very fun episode with two of our favorite podcasters in a different genre, but we're going to talk about, you know, shared passions.
Do you want to say who it is?
No. I want it to be a surprise.
One of them I do have a parasocial relationship with. Like, I do think that she is one of my close friends, and she doesn't know me. It's kind of like what happened with me and Marc Maron, you know?
Mm-hmm. You were like, come on our podcast, talk about your eating disorder, and he didn't respond.
No, he did.
Oh, he did
we
at
had
first.
We had a whole back
and
forth.
Yeah.
And then well, I also went to his book signing, Nick.
Right.
I did go through a period where I stalked Marc Maron. And anyway, so that's that. This was edited by A.J. Mosley.
This was edited by A.J. Mosley, produced by Jonathan Kornman. And please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/eyewitnessbeauty. We'll be back next week. Adore you.
Talk to you later.